tell what I value by what I think about. If a problem has captured my attention and has taken me into fear and anxiety, then it is misplaced worship. Learning what is in us is not introspection. It is through the scriptures we find, we sang it tonight, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. As I've said many times through the years, the Holy Spirit is in us and he wants out. He's in us as a river, not a lake. He's in us to flow from us, to alter the geography around us. Cooperation with him from the beginning, the Father has set his heart to find those made in his image who would co-labor with him. It's that my hand, excuse me, my hand is stretched out in obedience to him, which is then covered by his hand stretched out. That's what makes it powerful. It's the child trying to loosen a nut on a bolt, and it's just too hard. And dad's hand goes over the top of the hand of the child, and suddenly that nut, that bolt gets loosened. The point is our obedience, the co-laboring, is what attracts him into the environment to display who he is. The resurrected Christ, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us. And he looks for opportunities to flow through us. We see them line the streets with sick people when Peter walked by. We see the shadow touching. There's no substance to a shadow. Your shadow will always release whatever overshadows you. Whatever you have set your affection upon will affect the environment that you invade. If that affection, that attention of the heart, is on worry, fear, etc., then I will carry anxiousness into any environment that I go. Fear is misplaced worship. Fear is misplaced worship. Fear is actually the enemy touching the strings of our heart that were designed to express affection and trust to him, and they are now removed from him towards circumstances that are so extremely inferior to him that it's dishonoring. It's not a reason for shame, but it is a reason for repentance. To realize that when I embrace anxiety and fear, what I've done is I have used the tool God gave me for worship, and I've put my affection on the inferior. Affection sounds like it's probably the wrong word to use, because affection is, you know, we look at a child and our affection is turned up on towards this child. We just want to hug, and we find ourselves making faces at this little infant that we wouldn't make to another human being on the earth because that affection is stirred up. And there's that connection where I'm with my wife and sitting, you know, we'll watch a TV show together, and, you know, four or five times in an evening, I'll just turn to her and just say, honey, I love you. I love you so much. And just there's that burning affection, and it needs to be expressed. It's not that kind of affection. It's, you can tell what I value by what I think about. If a problem has captured my attention and has taken me into fear and anxiety, then it is misplaced worship. How many, I've asked you this question before, so how many of you have had something trouble you so much it just kept you awake at night? It was just hard to go to sleep, you know, and my hands, legs are raised. You know. So we know that we know how to meditate. We just have to shift what we set our heart on, what we meditate on. God's economy is transferred, his currency is word and presence, which are two sides of the same coin. He spoke everything into being that is in existence, with one exception. He didn't speak man into being. He fashioned man of what he spoke into being. Sometimes he likes to work with what's already there. Loaves and fishes. Could have created new food, but he wanted to co-labor. He would much rather co-labor with what he has made than to start over. He easily could have manifested himself to Mary, the virgin, who was about to bear the Christ child, and explained to her what was about to happen. But instead, he sended Gabriel, the messenger angel, because God actually delights in what he has made operating in its design. He is glorified by every facet of his creation functioning in their design. Fear keeps us from functioning in our design. And the Lord looks to cooperate, to co-labor with those who have embraced their design. So I dwell on, I think, I ponder. See, what you ponder, what I ponder reveals what I value. What I ponder on reveals what I will worship. It's an interesting story in Judges, where the Lord spoke to Israel and he said, I told you not to fear the gods of the Amorites, but you did not obey. How was it manifested? They worshiped the gods of the Amorites. He told them, he said, I told you, don't fear the gods of the Amorites, but you didn't obey. How was their disobedience manifested? They worshiped the gods of the Amorites. What's the point? What you fear determines what you worship. You may say, I don't worship money, but you're afraid of going broke. And while you may not bow or sing songs towards the almighty dollar, the effect, does this make sense? The effect on the heart is it has defiled its misplaced worship. He said in Matthew, either you will love the one concerning God and mammon, you will love the one, hate the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. It's defining two relationships, devoted to God or devoted to mammon. A spirit behind a false financial standard world. So he says, you will love the one. That's the relationship with God. I love the one. I hate the other. Or I hold. That's how you can tell. People who hold to what they have, their worship is being infected. They hold and they despise whenever money is talked about in church. Hold to the one, despise the other.